Amen. All right. Are we ready? Well, tonight I'm going to share with you. You going to help me? Okay. You help me? Yeah, absolutely. Because tonight, I don't know, I just kept reading some scriptures, and it dawned on me, wow, we got a dedication of a baby tonight. And tonight, I am talking to you about childlike faith. Amen? Childlike faith. And the powerful understanding that Jesus specifically, He used this as an example to bring together His disciples to let them understand how powerful the faith of a child is, the likeness of that, for us to walk in with our faith with Him. Amen? So tonight, let's look and see this in Matthew 18, 1 through 5. Appreciate that. Helping me tonight. In Matthew 18, 1 through 5, and it says, "And at the time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, that statement to me is loaded. Because to me, this is why Jesus brought up being as a child. Because at this moment, they're acting childish. There's one thing to have childlike faith and to be childish. Come on. That's something that we have to understand. God wants us, and I want you to see the difference of this, to see that we're not to act childish, but to have childlike similarities of a faith of a child. And I think it's powerful because I want you to know something, for us to recognize something, and we could really catch something here if we can grab this and see that a lot of the things that we learn are things that we learn that we're taught. See, children don't act a certain way until they're taught that way. Amen? See, I want you to know that these disciples at that moment right here, I want you to know that this is something they were taught. They were wondering who was the greatest. See, even in Mark, see, they're wondering, they're talking to themselves, they're saying, who's the greatest? And they're arguing one another. And Jesus knew this beforehand. They were trying to hide it from Him because why? They knew it was childish to act the way they were acting. I want you to know that sometimes we know that we act childish. We're not to act childish, amen? But we're to be mature sons and daughters of God. We're to grow up in God. We're to take hold of what He has for us and walk in that fullness and not to act childish, but have childlike faith. And there's a difference between the two. So here's these disciples. They got embarrassed. And Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? I know you're talking about something. What is it? And they wanted to know who was the greatest. Which one of them were the greatest? Even saying it out loud to yourself sounds, boy, that doesn't sound right. Come on, amen? It just doesn't sound right. It kind of sounds childish. And these disciples were arguing about that, and it's something that they were taught. Just like a child, that I want us to recognize something, that growing up, that I believe that there's things that were taught that were learned. There's people that are racist that they weren't born that way. But they were taught to be that way. There's ugliness that we get in life that we're taught. And I want us to understand that sometimes those things are taught to us out of a fear or an ignorance that because of somebody else got hurt, that they don't want their children to get hurt, and they hold them back because somebody with this certain person, this or that, hurt them, or maybe church did, so they keep them out of church that they don't get hurt. Instead of recognizing them, to understand that sometimes there's things that we're taught. And I think it's powerful for us to see that, to know that I began to think today about how that there was things that I was taught and how that we're taught this way, that greatness comes from something that you do. And we have to be careful as parents not to always cheat us. It doesn't mean that we don't teach our children try to be great, to do great things. But it's not who they are. It doesn't have to be who you are, that you're great because of something you do. I want you to know that there's something so powerful that even in school, when I was a child in school, that I didn't get it as quick as some of the other kids. So because of the way that maybe sometimes the other ones were rewarded because of how smart they were, sometimes I was overlooked, and I felt because of that I wasn't great. Come on, help me tonight. And so I want you to know that there's something that's built. There's something that comes out of that. So these disciples were here, and Jesus was trying to change their mind. He was trying to get them to focus. It is not about what you're doing or who you think that you are. It's not about that. It's about the faith in who you are in me. Come on, amen? It's about being a child and a dependency that you have in your Father, not in the sense of what you have. Because what we do is we begin to build our lives upon our greatness. And I want you to know what that does? It causes us to become heavy. It causes us to bear this thing upon us, to continually to try to please. Come on, amen? To try to be great. And what that does is it puts something upon us, a heaviness. And the Bible talks about that. It says this in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. If you could look that up, brother. But what happens is their thinking, these disciples' thinking was corrupted into thinking that you're rewarded just for greatness. That you're great because of what you've done. And it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy, heavy laden." I want you to know there's so much stuff that we begin to carry from a young age. There's things that we're taught from a young age. And I want you to all to recognize that sometimes there's innocence. You know how innocent children are? Come on, how innocent they are. The moment that baby's born, the moment that baby comes out of that womb, it's so innocent in who it is. It's so dependent upon those parents and those that are around to begin to cause it to be strengthened, to move in life, a dependency. But what happens in life is we become independent unto ourselves. I have a 16-year-old girl and she's about ready to break into her own independency because she's about ready to get her license to drive. Freedom is before her. And if she wants, she can take off and leave me. She won't ever do that, but I'm just saying. There's something powerful about being free. There's something powerful. And I want you to know that, see, God wants you to be dependent upon Him, but He wants you to be at that place where that you're free and you're dependent, but you're independent in a sense where that you desire to understand that I still need you. See, God gives us freedom. But a freedom that chooses a dependence upon God. See, that's what He lays before us. He says, I want you to know, but what happens is we become heavy laden on being dependent upon ourselves and my own greatness. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. Come on, and we shout so loud to see everybody to see what I can do. Come on, we do it all through life. We're doing it to our bosses, show our bosses how we can do this, or at church, or in school, in so many different areas. Watch what I can do. Because you know that if you color in the lines, that if you color the prettiest picture, you'll be praised the most. I want you to know we learn it. I want you to know there are some good things in it. You don't get everybody a trophy on the team. I get that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm understanding is it's not just about that. There's something more to it. And what happens is we begin to feed that. And you want to encourage your children. You want to let them know that, man, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you, this and that. But I'm proud of you whether or not you do good or not. I'm proud of you no matter what. I love you no matter what you do. Come on. I want you to know I love you no matter what. That is the sure foundation that we have. That there's a sense of security that you give to your children to know no matter what, I love you. No matter where you're at, no matter how far you run, I still love you. Doesn't matter. You can be separate. You can be in another state. You can hide from me and not talk to me. But you can't run from a love that I have deep within you that will be there always for you. Doesn't matter about how great you become. If you become great, that's awesome. Or if you just become this or that, that's okay too. So I want you to know the greatest thing that my Father could have gave me is He says, listen, I can't pay for you to go to college. I can't give you this and that. But all I can do is love you, help you through whatever you do, and to be there for you. And love you unconditionally. Whether you become this or become that, no matter what, I'll be proud of you. And I became a bricklayer, and my dad was so proud. He'd tell everybody, he's building that building up there. He'll tell this, that. But he was so proud. Didn't matter. Didn't matter whether or not I was a janitor. If I was a janitor, taking out the garbage, my son cleans that building. Come on. Because I was his son. He was proud of me no matter what I did. I want you to know that. And it says, but what happens is we begin to learn to kind of learn of me. And he said, learn of me. That's why he said this, learn of me. We become heavy laden because with the pressure that we put on ourselves, something that's projected to us all through our lives, and we begin to lose that sense of childlike faith that we have in God because we become dependent upon ourselves. And it becomes heavy. Heavy. I want you to stop and think that sometimes if life is heavy for you, we got to stop and say, I need to go back. I need to go back in my thinking. I need to stop because somehow I got running ahead of God. I got ahead of God. I began to carry some things that I shouldn't be carrying. And I blame it on God sometimes, or I blame it on church, or I blame it because the praise team, or I blame it because of Randy's not fast enough on the... I didn't get that scripture. Whatever that is. But sometimes what happens, unfortunately, we begin to blame it. And we got to recognize, we got to stop for ourselves. Don't be childish. But we got to stop and say, wow, I need to take myself. What's the responsibility that I have? What did I do? What am I taking upon myself that I'm holding on to that's heavy? But I'm angry at you because I'm carrying it. Because I picked it up. I don't have to be that way. It says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We need to continually find rest in Him. I need to let this go. I need to trust you. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Religion is heavy. But He's light, that burden. Amen? That we take from Him. The scripture also says in Luke, I got this one. I think so. Hang on. Yeah. And I just jumped in this scripture today. Because when I was reading this, sometimes we come into desert places. Sometimes we get, but what do I do? What do I do? I don't even think about this and know that I need to be like a child. Look at that baby. Look at that baby right there. Look at. Do you know how dependent upon he is upon you? Look. He can't eat without dad or mom. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. But what happens is we begin to go into desert places. How many of you have ever been in a dry place? Nope. If you have, say amen. Sometimes we get in these dry places. Sometimes we get in dry places. And what do I do in dry places? So I want you to remind yourself, what do I do? What do children do when they're in tough situations? I want you to know that no matter where I was at, no matter what situation, I felt like I was independent of my own strength, my own ability, and I would go out and do my own thing. I'd do all kinds of crazy things that what adults would do, but I couldn't handle what I was doing, and I would do some bad things. And the moment I got in trouble, do you know where I went? I went back home. I remember the time that my father told me, he says, listen to me, here's the rule, son. I love you with everything I got, but here's the thing. If you're not home by midnight, the door's locked. And if you can't obey the rules of my house, son, you can do whatever you want in your house, but this is my house. And as for me and my house, we're serving God. I love you with all our heart, but here's what we're going to do. There's a line that we're going to go, and if you cross that line to go the way, guess what? You can't do it here. That's fine. I'll go do my own thing. My dad says, okay. I love you no matter what, son. So I went to the other side of the state to do my own thing. I was a big boy now. I was a big boy. Until everything started coming down on me. And I became heavy laden. I became all this stuff. I was doing my own thing. I thought I could handle everything. And everything became too heavy for me to handle at that moment. I was at a desert place. I want you to know that, listen, in desert places, we need to be like these ones, these children of God that came. Listen what they did. And it says, and when the day was done, he departed and he went to a desert place. And the people, they saw him, they came unto him, and they stayed with him. I love that. They sought him. I want you to know that what do I do in those moments? I need to seek my Father, my Heavenly Father. When I feel heavy laden, when I feel like I'm in a desert place, I'm in a dry situation, a dry area of my life, because we get there, but we aren't meant to stay there. And when I'm there, I need to be doing the right thing so I get out of that. Come on, amen. As a church, we need to know this. We need to know that I'm not meant to stay there. I'm not meant to make it my home.
We visit dry places. That's real. Amen? But we're not meant to live there. We're not made to build a shelter there and say, I guess I got to live here. Come on. Remember the Grinch? Remember he built his house up there in a cave in loneliness? He wasn't meant to stay there. Now, think about that. But I want you to know that there's something powerful. He was meant to go back, just like me, when I recognized and I got to a place and I was living in a park, out of a box, in a playground, and I said to myself, I came to myself, and I said, I got to go back home. My father's wolves weren't too bad. They weren't there to hurt me, but they were there to protect me. They were there for me. And I recognized that. I want you to know that, listen, I came to my senses like a child, like a son should, when they recognize that what their parents and their father has for them is greater than feeling a dependency of independent on my own. I want you to know there's something about that, to recognize that, that I need to seek Him. I need to take hold of Him, and I need not let Him go. So let's go here. Let's run through here. And here's what Jesus did. Where's it at? There it is. We'll go back to that part. And it says, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And He says, and Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. This is powerful. He took this little child and He brought this little child and put him right in the center of His conversation. With them being great, with them arguing amongst themselves. This is the least. I want you to know that at this moment in time, children, there was prejudice against children and against women. These times, they were thought of as meaningless until they got to a place where they can produce something. So I want you to know that I'm going to show you that even in the Bible it talks about that. Do you remember in the Bible where Jesus fed the 5,000? Do you know there was more than 5,000 there? So I want us to see that they only counted the men. There was 5,000 men. Listen, they only counted the men, His disciples. But it wasn't Jesus that did that. I want you to show you this because it's powerful. Because they didn't count. The one that brought the miracle, they didn't count, but Jesus did. Jesus did. He took an account of this child, the least. He said, it's this kind of faith. All through the Bible, He showed me, it's this kind of faith. And He put him right in the middle, the one that nobody else counted. I want you to know that your Heavenly Father counts you. We need to be dependent upon Him as a child to understand that He counts me. He looks after me. He loves me. He desired my relationship. So He set him right in the midst, the least of these. Put him right there. And He said, this is the greatest. He didn't do anything. But He's dependent. Listen, and verily I say unto you, except you be, He says, and He called the child in the midst of them, right in the midst of them, placed him right there. And He says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, I want us to recognize not to be childish. Not to be childish. But to become as a little child. And I want you to know that it's not in that place where that you become as a child in a sense where that we know little children, they, you know how they get their ways and they begin to teach you how to parent. Oh, yes they do. I watch it. I go to Walmart and I see the kids. I want it! You hear this voice, I want this. No. Now! And they make a fit in the middle of the aisle and they're screaming. And the parent says, oh, they just want peace and quiet. I get it. But that moment, that kid inside goes, yes. Yes. Good mommy. You listen to me. Finally, there's something powerful about that. Where they become, in a sense, where they begin to train us to see how far. Sometimes you got to keep saying no. Sometimes you got to keep saying, I don't like that. Or no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And eventually they'll quit. But they try to train us on what way to go. Come on, amen. they try to train us. But he says, unto you, but well, I'm not talking about childish, except you become converted. And that word converted, unless you're willing to turn, unless you're willing to turn and see you're dependent upon the Heavenly Father. To be dependent, it's like, wow, am I carrying a heavy load? Am I trying to do this on my own? I remember the time that I got lost. I remember at that moment, and it's what you do in those lost moments and those dry moments that matter. That we become child and become dependent upon Him. So I remember I was at Idlewild, and I remember I was at Storybook Forest, and I decided to go into the shoe and go as far as I can. And when I came back out, my parents, my family was gone. And I was okay with it because I was like, yes, I can run around and do whatever I want. So I did. But eventually, I came to my senses and I realized, I'm all by myself. I don't know what to do. And listen, I wasn't worried about what... I started screaming right into the place, help me! What's wrong with this kid? I needed somebody's attention. I need somebody to help me. I didn't care what you thought about me. I didn't care whether or not you thought I was goofy or crazy. It wasn't even in my mind. I just needed my mommy. I needed mommy. I needed daddy. I just needed that sense of that. I was so desperate to find them that I was running towards them because I realized that I can't do this alone. I want you to know that that's a childlike faith. Come on, that's what we need to enter into. To say to myself that we become so dependent, I need to say to myself, am I running after God? Am I being like a child saying, I need my parents. I need you in my life. I need you so much. I want you to know that sometimes people become hard-hearted and they say, well, I'm doing it my way. I'm just going to do it my way. They become so dependent on their own self that they forget what it's like to trust in God, to have that nurturing and that strength. Come on, amen? Or they're so worried about what someone says. What do they think about me? Listen. But willing to turn at that moment, except you're willing to be able to turn and become as a little child. So you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, that's powerful because he says you will not enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that, listen, it doesn't mean that you won't see. The Bible talks about seeing and entering. Seeing and entering. I want you to know that that's what we need to enter. I want to enter into. I want to walk here and now with the kingdom reality of the kingdom of God. That means God's purposes, God's plans for me right here, right now. Not just seeing it from afar off or for some other day, but I want to enter into it. I want to walk in that reality of it. He says, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter into it. Enter. There's a lot of people that see. But I want to enter into it now. I want to walk in that reality now. I want that childlike faith now. Where I'm dependent on God. I seek His strength. Amen? He says, and whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, that's willing to humble themselves. See, I want you to know that age, before the kids get in that place with it, you know, that they're all challenged to be as best they can or look the best, or they go into school, and at that moment when they're, man, they feel like they're a free bird and doing their own thing. I felt that way. I remember. I remember when, man, I could fit into my brother's clothes, and he was 8 years older than me. But, listen, I want you to get this, because 8 years ahead of me, his generation was 8 years ahead of me. So his style wasn't my style, my generation's style. So wearing what my brother did was so far out there that when I walked down the hallways, thinking, man, everybody's going to like me. This is awesome. This is like canary yellow shirt. This is killer. This is like the number one seller in New York City, but not in a Shanik. No, man, listen. So I'm walking down, and everybody's looking at me, what is this goofball doing? I was really cool to somebody that's 8 years older. The shop teacher was like, oh, you look awesome, man. But the kids my age were like, I don't get it. You look stupid. But see, I want you to know that you're shaped by those. You're shaped by those moments in your life where
that you've got to be willing to be humbled to know that, man, I don't care what somebody else thinks about me. I feel good in this shirt. I feel good in this shirt. I mean, that kind of faith where they're like, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care about you thinking how dependent upon I am upon God. That I got to spend time with God. Or I got to be in church. That I got to get in my word. That I'm listening to the music that you might not listen to. I don't care what you think. I need to be dependent. I need to have that kind of faith as a child. No matter what anybody else says. But I need to be willing to be humble. So I need God more than anything else. But what happens is we grow, we get older, we're taught things. We're taught to be our own person, our own thing. But he says, unless you're willing to humble yourself as a little child. At that place with that child, and I wrote down seven things. Number one, they're trusting. Did you ever see a child, man? I remember with my daughter, man, I used to do some crazy things. I remember taking her on the roller coaster, what's that one? The Whitewater Rapids. Whatever it was, she was like 3. And I was bigger than the guy letting people on. I said, she's going with me. She's too little. I'm like, listen, I'm too big for you to argue with. I'm going on this with my daughter. Okay. I'm like, do you really think I'm going to let her go? I said, I got her. Bad idea. Bad moment. You're saying, I'm going to give her an experience of her life. What? Near-death experience is not fun. I know she wouldn't die, but in her eyes, what is this guy doing? Are you... This is my dad? So listen, we got the picture. I got to bring it in sometime because here's my daughter. Here's me behind him. Holding on to her. I think I have her all the time, but and Kelly's panicking, running with her head and in your legs, crying. But at that moment, I want you to think about this, but she was so, she was just got on that. But eventually, after a while, though, unfortunately, that I'd done that to her, that we got on top of this one water slide at one time, and she looked at me and she goes, Dad, I don't think I want to do this. Oh, it's okay. It's one of those ones where you go down, it's like a toilet where that just drops you 20-some feet. You know, it's okay for a 4-year-old. It's not a big deal. But no, but I want you to know that it's that trusting place where you throw that kid in the air and that kid is way up there and it really should be fearful, but it's not. Why? Because he knows that you're going to catch him. He knows that you're going to get him. He knows that you won't let him fall. That there's just free-for-all. It's like, it's okay. I know it's fearful. I know it's scary, but I'm trusting that I'll be okay. That it looks like it's tough, but I want you to know the disciples in the Bible were like that. They were trusting. How about Peter? Where they, guess what? He never walked on the water, but his father was telling him to come on out on the water. He'd never done this before, but he was willing to get out there. Why? Because it was his father who was calling him. The one that he gave his life to. Why else wouldn't he walk out on the water? That's the kind of faith he's talking about. Childlike faith, where he's like this, and Peter's like, just like a baby, man. He's like, I've never done this. That baby never did this. Never threw in the air, flew in the air that high. But I know you're going to catch me. What happens is we stand so long that maybe things, other things didn't catch us. And we hit the ground. I remember that with my nephew. Should have learned. My nephew, I was trying to teach him things. I got to call and apologize to him. But I was teaching him. I was like, did I learn to catch a ball? I said, just hold your glove up. Oh, hold your glove up. Sorry, you'll do it again. Oh, never learned how to catch a ball. But no, he was dependent upon me. I told him, I remember one time, come on, Steve, just get on that bike, ride down that hill. You can, you'll be okay. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The pedals began to beat his legs so fast he flipped over the handlebar. I'm never trusting you again, Uncle Chris. But no, sometimes you're at that place where you're trusting that one, that person, or maybe it's church, or maybe things. Sometimes we put our trust in things that are fallible. We got to stop and say, maybe it was my mistake for putting all that into something that is fallible. Sometimes parents are that. They do fail. But our Heavenly Father never fails. But what happens is we're standing on the edge.
We're standing on the edge and he's standing and saying, come unto me, all you heavy laden. And we're like, I want to, but I'm scared. And we spend our whole life not entering into the kingdom of God, standing on the edge. And God's standing there saying, come. I just want you to trust me. I know you've been hurt, but come. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes we're waiting, God, God, empower me to do it. No, you go and I'll empower you. That's not the answer we like. Go and I'll empower you. Walk out in the water and I'll cause you to stand on it. Come on, amen? Listen. He says, listen, we got to be transparent. Willing to be transparent. Willing to, you know what, that's so powerful with that child that before they get to the place where that they can really hide the way they feel. Hide the thing that maybe they're doing that they shouldn't. We learn that. We learn what mask fits to fool everybody. We learn what to put on to make everybody believe everything's good. How are you doing? I'm fine. When someone says that to me, you know what that means to me? Feelings inside, not expressed. Most cases, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Okay. Woo. I hate to be in that fine place you are. But listen, but it's that moment. But see, we gotta be that, but they're transparent. Transparent whether you're at that place whether you know your kid does something wrong and they're standing and say, what did you do? They know that they can't hide it. They're like, I'm sorry. And immediately they repent and say, I'm sorry. But what happens is you keep trying to find the mask that fits. Eventually nobody knows anything. You're so far away from anybody, they really don't know how you feel or where you act because you put so many masks on. But I want you to know, unless we're being transparent, I need to be real to you. I need to be real to you to tell you I make flaws. I have flaws. I'm not up here acting like I got it all together. Projecting this to you that, listen, you need to be just like me because I'm perfect. No. I'm desiring to be like him because he's perfect. So we need to be transparent with one another. Don't put on the mask. It might fit, but it ain't right. We need to be carefree. Kids are carefree. Man, they're not worried about they're not worried about tradition.
Yeah, but we used to do this. Last year we did this. And
they don't have any memories to have any tradition. We do this every single year. I just want to have fun. I just want to have...
We do this every week in church. We do this every week. This is the way we do it. We stand like this and go like this, sit down, and we get back up again.
Be like if Jesus was talking about that. You'd be like, child. But that heart. Say, woo! Come on, well, there's life. That's why I'm not afraid of children making noise. Man, that's life to me. I love it. My daughter's still the loudest in the neighborhood. I can hear. Especially when her dog's disobedient. Oh, God! I'm like, wow. Where's that come from? That's her mom. So. But we need to have that childlike faith where we're insistent, too. That we don't stop. Do you remember the blind man on the side of the road knew that Jesus walking by and he was crying out, Jesus! He said, shut up! He wouldn't stop. I'm not talking about a selfish, childish thing, but I'm talking about persistence. Like, no. I'm not stopping until I get that. I want that. I know God, Lord, I need my healing. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to take no for an answer. The Bible says I need to be persistent and say, knock, knock, knock until you open, Father. Knock, knock, knock. Keep knocking. That we need to have a faith in His timing. You know what? I want you to hear that. That sometimes we need to have faith, but we need to have faith in His timing. We have faith in God, but how about His timing? Sometimes it's not always when God says yes. Which says no, or maybe later, son. I need to trust them, have faith in that moment. But see, children are like that. They're like, man, I need it. Give me another bite. I'm not stopping. The fifth one is spontaneous. Kids are spontaneous. They don't lose that. That spontaneity with it, man. They go. They're not caught up in the same old thing. But they're spontaneous. We need to be that with God. We need to be that way. We need to be that way in our relationship. We need to have that attitude that, man, just... See, kids just... Man, you could say, hey, do you just want to go here? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I kind of thought that if we went here and got the schedule, Dad, I kind of thought if you went this way and you went this route...
See, we create so much more pressure upon ourselves. Just getting in the car, let's just go. That's the way kids are.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're in the back seat. You just put them in the back. They're trusting you. That's my next one is that we need to be able to be trustworthy in a sense where that, you know, I think about this. That sometimes I thought about my child and say I'm moving to Tennessee or something. I'm moving away. And if I tell my daughter, here, I'm going to put you in these bags and just fly you down there and I'll be down later. Not only is the change so amazingly tough, but I'm not with her. But if I'm with her, it's bearable because I'm there. So I want you to know that sometimes we don't understand where we're going and we feel that way with God. But if He's with me, it's all right. See, sometimes our kids don't know that you're going to the doctor for them to get a shot. But if you're in the car with them, it's all right. You're going to the doctor's office. It's okay as long as you're with me. Amen? Listen. Imagination. I believe that's so important. Imagination. Did you ever see that? You see kids play. It's the most awesome thing. But what happens is the older they get, we rob that from them. Eventually you got to, you know, you can't always be that way. But I'm saying that sense of wonderment, that sense of awe. I still love walking through Disney. God, I'm a kid again.
Don't look at me.
But sometimes we lose that sense of imagination. Do you ever see that little kids that they're a pirate, man? They're a pirate, man. Dad, come on. What's wrong with you? You're a princess. Don't act like an ogre.
Can't get that on. I still have a hard time with that.
So, no, but that imagination with her, that was real. It was powerful. That moment that, man, she seen the castle. In her mind, it was there. All that was real to her. It was so powerful that we need to have that wonderment, that imagination, and we need to be that way. Come on, I want you to get this. We need to be that way. We need to have a wonderment and an imagination that we trust and we walk in that powerful of wow, that anything can happen. All things are possible. But we lose that sense sometimes that all things are possible. We lose that in our walk sometimes. But he says, unless you're able to be in a place of wonderment, you serve a God of miracles, anything can happen. Don't lose that imagination, that wonderment. The Bible says to pull down false images, things that exalt themselves above God. Our image of God needs to be higher than all the problems. That's the imagination I should be thinking of. Amen? And the last one is joyful. Children are joyful. They're joyful. Until they begin to learn heartache. Because I was in India. And these kids don't know no better. They have no shoes. No shirts. Hot outside. They don't even know what air conditioning is. They've never felt cool. They're walking around without any shoes. Rough ground, thistles and thorns. But they're joyful. Here I am with a bag of lollipops, and I got 100 of them following me around. I brought them joy just with a lollipop. So I want you to know that, man, they found joy just in that little thing. that they're looking for joy. I want you to know that so many times we got so much joy in our lives that we end up looking for sorrow and pain. We're so overflowed with so much stuff that can make us happy, that can give us a sense of joy, that we lose that reality of what joy really is. Come on. And the last one is this. He says, "And whoso shall receive such one of these little ones in my name receives me." If you receive this little child, you receive me. And listen, I want you to get this and understand something, that what he was declaring is this. He says, that little child in that pure form, that being dependent upon me, and that childlike faith, and that place where that they're recklessly abandoned in love with me, that nothing else matters, that they want their parents, that listen, no matter what, they're going to reach in for you. You take that child, they're screaming. Ah! They want their parent. Come on, you with me? But he's talking about being that way. He says that childlike faith. He says to enter in. He says receive such a little one of these ones in this state, not in the defiled state, where that we end up becoming defiled with all the things that we've learned. Receive this. Listen, I want you to recognize something. Every one of us, listen, are that little kid, and we need to see each other that way. Before something might have defiled us. Something that we couldn't help to keep us from being that child. But I need to recognize that somewhere inside, each one of us is that. Every one of us had that dependency in our faith somewhere. He said this. He says, receive them, that child. Before it might have been corrupted with church and religion and all the other things. Find that child. Find that child. So I ask you tonight, each one of us, to stop and recognize and say to ourselves, I want to be at that place. I want to live that way, where I'm dependent upon Him no matter what. But I humble myself. Stand on your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I pray tonight, dear God, Lord, I ask, dear God, Lord, that each one of us, dear God, Lord, that as we open with those that are heavy laden, Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that just like as a parent, you take all the heavy things and we walk freely. You're carrying all the load, all that stuff, and we're walking freely. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, dear God, Lord, that we lean upon you in that innocence. Pray to God, ask to God, Lord, for us to look upon our hearts and ask to God, Lord, that tonight, that Lord, if there's anything that has tried to keep me from being that, in that form, ask for forgiveness tonight, God. Ask to God, Lord, that you clean my heart. I pray to God, Lord, that you bring me back to that place. Remind me of that place of innocence when I first received you into my life as my Savior. That sense of wonderment, that no matter where I went, that you were on my mind. I pray to God, Lord, that we are persistent that way. That we don't know give up and we don't stop until, God, Lord, that we know your presence. That know, God, Lord, I can't move without you. Lord, I ask that in your name. I just declare a blessing over each one here tonight. I pray to God, Lord. Lord, I ask to God, Lord, as you, we thank you for this dedication tonight, God. We ask to God, Lord, that we dedicate ourselves unto you again with all that we have. That we enter into the reality of the kingdom. That we just don't look from afar. But we walk it out. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless somebody.